So one of the kind of tropes that people imagine related to martial arts is kind of this classic idea of taking the enemy's strength and turning it against them. You see that in particular with forms like Aikido and a variety of others that we've all probably seen the martial arts movie where the protagonist just smoothly steps out of the way and kind of shoves their opponent aside with their own momentum. And it's an attractive idea, and in fact it is really one of the principles of martial arts, that if possible, you know, you conserve your own energy and use your opponent's energy against them. But we also see that same thing kind of played out in other sort of cultural tropes also. So long before I would be able to quote the Gospels or the first letter of St. Peter to you, I would have been able to quote like Spider-Man or Batman to you. And there was always the thing that the reason that superheroes don't kill their enemies is because they don't want to be as bad as them, right? That's always the trope that's presented. And it comes out of a desire to maybe spare our children the loss of their innocence, and also, I think, to try and inform them well that revenge is never the course of action that we should take. There's some element of the Christian faith that's still buried in our popular culture, but somewhere along the line we lose that as adults. And we can't just blame our culture, otherwise Jesus wouldn't have been talking to the disciples the way that he is. This is something that is a feature now of our fallen, concupiscent hearts. We are very easily tempted to seek to get even, and as both of our readings point to, in particular, to use our tongues as the weapon by which we do that. And it has, I think, gotten worse in our culture, partially because we have not only instant communication, but brief communication. Gone are the days of writing lengthy discourses. Instead, we have Twitter, and we have Facebook, and we have email, all readily at hand that we can give vent to our anger to a large number of people who we may feel have wronged us or have hurt us. And so, if anything, these words should strike us with an even deeper intensity because of the culture in which we find ourselves immersed in. Not simply because we ourselves can be prey to that, though absolutely we can be, but also because we must be witnesses. Witnesses of the gospel charity. So we want to become like little children once again, and to believe that we don't stoop to the tactics of our enemy, because that makes us just as bad as they are. And so this is a good opportunity to take our Lord's words and sift our own hearts. How do we speak? How do we think of those who have wounded us? It's fascinating that Jesus uses the language of brother. And if you were to go to the ordinary form mass today, you'll hear the story of the Good Samaritan. And it starts with that question, well, who is my neighbor? Right, looking for a way out of something difficult. And we know Jesus' answer. Ultimately, everyone is our neighbor. And so we might be tempted to say, well, who is my brother? Probably the same answer. And so not only to allow the words of Jesus to touch us, but to really ask the question, do we believe it? Because there's been this odd vein that has emerged that all that matters is that we speak the truth. No matter how harsh or unkind or presumptive that truth might be expressed, we have taken to seeing expressing human kindness, giving the benefit of the doubt, allowing our interlocutor, our opponent, to explain themselves as marks of weakness. And we don't want to be weak. So the only way I'll manifest love is speaking truth to you. Never mind that oftentimes the truth is a cloak for our own anger and hurt. And so the Lord will call that out. We can't cloak things from him. So let's reflect, or even if we have access digitally to the last set of emails that we've sent, last set of things that we posted on Facebook or on Twitter or that we've sent in text messages, maybe before the Lord, sit and let's read through those. Where was I when I sent that? Where was I when I said that? What was my heart's attitude? And as we dig down, we start to get to the place where we generally realize that we feel out of control, we feel afraid, or our ego has been bruised. And those are the things that need to be addressed. Those are the things that we've set our words as weapons against and that need to be purified. So if we are afraid, speak to the Lord. What is that fear that is moving me? Is there a fear of who might be hurt or corrupted by bad action on the part of those I perceive to be my enemy? Okay. Well, then we hear in the first reading that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and that he is turned against the wicked. And this also then becomes the answer for our anger. If we are not with those that we need to correct or protect by humble presentation of the truth, then the best thing in our heart is to bring before the Lord that injustice and surrender it to him, knowing that, as he says, vengeance is his, and that he is not blind to injustice. I think it's very important to remember the context that both our Lord and St. Peter are speaking these things in, because we can imagine a sort of almost Disneyland kind of feel back then. But Jesus is speaking to people who are occupied by pagans violently. He's speaking to people whose family members may have become tax collectors and collaborators with the Romans. Peter is writing to a community that is actively being persecuted by an insane emperor. And yet these are their words. So whatever lie is whispered to our heart of how much we should be afraid or of how powerful those who stand against us are, let's answer that the Holy Spirit guiding St. Peter and our Lord speak with the clarity of knowing exactly the strength of those arrayed against us. But also, they speak from the place of the true experience of power of the Lord who makes all things work to the good. And then, if we find that it's that last reason, that our egos are bruised, good. If we're honest, all of us need that. Only the humble enter the kingdom of heaven. And so those who challenge us are doing us a service, shrinking our ego, teaching us to hold our tongue, and uniting us to Jesus, who in bearing our weight and being bruised himself, mocked, did not raise his voice in protest, but as St. Peter also says, delivered himself up to the one who judges justly. So as we reflect on becoming childlike again, embracing the truth that we will not sink to the tactics of our enemy lest we become like them, we come to the altar of the Lord in our need. And we entrust our fear, our desire for justice, our bruised egos to him. And by his grace, by his presence, walk away renewed and with the hope and confidence of little children.